Hello and welcome to another episode of the Seneca Financial Solutions Podcast.
We're back.
My name is Jordan and with me is Luke Larativ. How are you, mate?
You're back from the Moss League.
I am back. I'm back from Seattle, the forest, the good lands over there. It's treated me well.
What were you doing over there? What was the purpose? Tell the people.
I was doing a natural movement seminar. So I was getting deep in the jungle and doing running down creeks, swimming from trees, jumping over boulders, off cliffs, and wrestling in the in nature. It was awesome.
Sounds pretty good. I was staring down a bunch of balance sheets and cash flows and company reports watching the red and green numbers.
We stick to what we know.
Yeah. I wish I wasn't sticking to what I know sometimes, but it's all good.
Did you miss me?
I did. It's been a bit different, actually, having you not in the office. Mm-hmm. Kind of got used to it in the last couple of weeks. So good to have you back. Good to mix up the dynamic and keep everyone accountable for their lunch meals.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Good to be back, and let's get into the podcast. So, mate, we've got a good topic today, actually. Something that you told me about a few months ago. Thinking about January, February.
You seem to learn a lot in January and February. That's quite a...
It was a prominent time where we were communicating. I think I was actually thinking about this this morning. I think I mentioned RFF, Rural Funds.
Oh, yeah. Group,
and I was like, dividend. Nothing wrong with it, but the reason why I was looking at it was because it was a good dividend and it seemed like a stable buy. And you were saying, well, what about this thing, which we'll talk about today, and that is hybrids.
Yeah, so we'll get into like what is a hybrid and all about it in a minute, but I suppose shout out to Jeffrey, my client, who big hybrid investor and great guy. Been doing that for a while with him with some level of success. And yesterday we went through as part of our, I don't know, you'd call it a quarterly catch up, but we catch up a lot, you know.
Yeah.
What is a hybrid? How do they work? Blah, 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 blah. And he suggested I should do this. So,
as in talk about it on the show.
Yeah, talk about it or, you know, write about it or do a piece of content on it. And I will do a video on this at some point with some nice, you know, animation type charts, or I can, you know, film my computer screen and we can go through it properly.
Mm.
But I thought we can cover the high level stuff. Without getting into the nitty gritty of like execution and actually how to do it. I think it's a good topic and let's get into it.
Yeah, nice. So, I mean, the first question is, what is a hybrid?
So a hybrid is a debt security, an income security. It's something that in an ideal world, you lend your money to the company or the bank normally. You lend them $100, they pay you an interest rate on that money, and at the end of the period they give you back the $100.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, in a perfect world, it'll be a no capital gain and income producing mm-hmm. thing.
So when I hear like a debt security, I think a bond. Well, how is it different to a bond?
Well, it's halfway between a bond and shares.
Hence the name hybrid.
And it's got characteristics that are like a share, and it's got characteristics that are like a bond.
Mm-hmm.
So corporate bond, if you want to lend money to Commonwealth Bank, you might get 2.something% on a corporate bond. A hybrid, you're going to get sort of 5%. 4.5% and franking credits on top of that.
It's a lot better.
And the reason why it's a lot better is because there's more risk. Mm. So in the event CBA goes broke, or any company goes broke, I'm just using CBA as an example.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a debt holder, when CBA sell all their assets, you're entitled to your money back first.
Mm-hmm.
So if they owe you $100 and CBA raise $200 worth of stuff from the sales of their assets,
mm-hmm.
in the event of wind up and liquidation, you'll get your full $100 back.
So you're higher on the debt hierarchy if you buy a bond as opposed to a hybrid.
Yeah, you're higher in the higher in the capital stack. Your priority is number one.
Yeah.
Now inside bonds, there are sort of, if you're calling bonds priority one, there's priority 1A, A, B, C. Mm-hmm. You know, there's different levels inside the debt
stacks within the stacks.
Stacks within the stacks. But that all happens first. And then after that is what's left for equity holders. Whatever's left after the receivership process is finished is what gets divvied up to shareholders. So, and normally paid out as a the dividends. And normally it's zero in the event of a liquidation, right? The equity is not worth anything. It's just the, you know, there's nothing left essentially. Yeah. But in a, you know, in the event, in the under the assumption that you don't think CBA, Westpac, the banks, some of the non-bank financials that do hybrids are going to be going concerns. You don't think they're going to go broke. You don't think they're going to default on their interest payments or on their term deposit payments to people like you and I who have term deposits in them. Then as a hybrid holder, you're okay because you're happy with your counterparty. So that's the primary risk, is that you don't get paid because the bank goes, or whoever you've lent money to goes broke.
Okay, so but with CBA, I could probably get a 5% dividend anyway. So why wouldn't I just buy shares as opposed to the hybrid?
Well, with shares, you're facing equity risk, right? So hybrids are called hybrids because they do trade on the exchange like a share. However, the volatility of hybrids is much lower than shares. Right. So, you know, again, like, don't quote me, but the average hybrid moves plus or minus 5%, depending on the demand for each given hybrid at every given time. Now, if people are bullish on markets and hybrids might be in, and returns are forecast to be very high, well, a fixed income security is going to be in lower demand. Vice versa, if people are scared and they're risk off and they don't want to own the bank shares, but they want to keep their income up, well, you know, hybrids are more popular, and you might have to pay more than $100 to get your hybrid.
Okay.
So each hybrid's also priced against each other. So, you know, when they're issued, sometimes they're issued on a margin to the bank bill swap rate, which we did a while back. but if you don't know what that is, just Google it. BBSW. It's the thing that ANZ were accused of manipulating. which you might have read about recently. But essentially, it's the rate which banks lend money to them, and the hybrids are priced at a spread to that rate. And the higher the spread, the higher the interest payments. So obviously, those that are priced at a high spread are generally greater value. Those that are priced at a low spread, lesser value. And those that have a long term, that are longer term, you generally get a higher return for. But obviously, you're exposed to more risk that that those securities or that particular company goes broke, because you've got, you know, 10 years till you get your money back versus a year till you get your money back. So you can kind of start to see how hybrids will be priced on a curve. The further you go out, the higher your return is. The nearer you are to your getting your money back, the lower the returns are.
So it's a fairly conservative approach. Like, how popular is it at the moment?
It's super popular, and but it's like a lover or a hater. Like, there's the people who like rattle off that hybrids are complicated, don't understand them, you can lose your money, blah 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 blah. And yep, like, if you don't read the documents and you don't know what the fuck's going on, you can do something stupid. And I remember there was one, like, a Seven West Media perpetual note.
Sounds dodgy.
Like, in the principle, it's fine, but, like, yeah, they're not a high quality lender. They couldn't pay the dividend. Like, you know, there was a whole bunch of things in the shares. The hybrids went from, you know, 100 to 70. Other ones that we've bought at the right point in the cycle, you know, we've made 10% capital gains on, as well as getting paid a great income, you know, from the issue date. So,
nice.
Look, it's not. You shouldn't think about it as a general comment as a money-making exercise.
Yeah.
You know, it's more about capital preservation, but trying to generate higher rates of return than what you get in a term deposit or on a corporate bond.
So at your point in investment cycle and a life cycle, it could be a great thing, or it could be something that's completely something that you want to overlook entirely.
Yeah, like, you know, like, you're probably not going to do it at 25.
No.
I'm probably not going to own too many hybrids, but, like, retirees, I think, is the main market for it. It's, you know, you're going to get 5 or 6% per annum return versus, like, 2 or 3 in the bank, and your capital's still pretty safe. And you don't have to face a lot of market risk. You face some short-term market risk, but provided you're happy with CBA as a counterparty or other bank as a counterparty, no reason why you can't get that, you know, generate those kind of better returns, but you've just got to be happy with the risks.
So for those who do want to buy them, how do you go about
it? You just buy them on the exchange. Just a code, just like everything else. And just got to be aware of liquidity. Like, so sometimes they're a little bit illiquid, you know, hard to trade. You know, and you got to know when the dividend cycles are, and you still got to, there's still a bit of nuance to it. Like,
and there's risk with the company that you buy them.
Yeah, correct, like that, right? So, but I think from the perspective of doing a podcast about hybrids, like, I won't get into too much detail. I think if we do a video, I can go through like stage by stage. Like, it's probably like, you probably do a full 5-part series just on hybrids.
Okay.
Because there's like about 6 or 7 different types of hybrid. You know, explaining how the time premium's priced, how each security has a different price, and how what's fair value for each one, and how you'd work that out. And you know, it's a whole piece of, there's a whole piece of kind of financial understanding and academia behind it, which you want to sort of be semi across. I'm not a guru on hybrids by any stretch of the imagination. Like, I know enough about them to be able to invest in them. I understand what they are and how they work and the paperwork behind them. But I mean, some people spend their whole day just looking at fixed income and hybrids, and they're trying to trade them and blah. Like, I really just use it as an asset allocation for clients. And we try and be a bit smart around, you know, picking them up at decent prices, and, you know, we have an idea of what they're worth and what we're paying for them. But beyond that, I'm not too fussed about generating, you know, crazy levels of outperformance from my hybrid holdings. Like, do you know what I mean? We do hybrids for hybrids, and then we buy shares for shares.
Use the right tool for the right outcome, right?
Yeah, like, you know, you're scratching around for 20 basis points extra on your hybrids, and it's doing all this effort, and you can just buy one more share that you think's great and make that same 20 basis points for your portfolio, you know, in a much more practical, simple, kind of normal way. So, yeah, I think definitely... appropriate for some people, definitely a good option for some people, but just needs to be done in the right way, just like all things, I suppose.
Exactly right. Nice. I think it's a good little wrap up about what a hybrid is and who should use it and what we can expect from them.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing, is just setting your expectations. Like, just because, you know, you're going to get $100 back, you're probably going to get $100 back at the end of the day, doesn't mean it will always trade at $100. It might be 105, might be 95, might be somewhere in the middle, might be a little bit more, a little bit less. But you're there for your income. You're there for a relatively low portfolio volatility relative to shares. And you acknowledge that you're taking a little bit more risk than what you would do in a term deposit or a corporate bond. But you're happy with the payoff. If that's you, yeah, hybrids, rock and roll.
Great. Thanks, Luke. Appreciate it, buddy.
Good stuff, JT.
If you have any questions, give us a yell, JordanT@senecafs.com.au, and we'll answer your questions. Have an awesome day.
I like it.